it's ready for some good grain, good wheat. He's all I need. He's all I need. My Jesus is all I need. He's all.
Service. I know you guys do double time, and sometimes that's not easy. You know, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you don't feel inspired. Sometimes it's a battle. But you know what? They step right up to the plate and say, "God bless you." God bless you for it. We sure appreciate it. Sure missed everybody over the weekend. We had some good service. A good service at Louisiana. Had a good time. They really treated us like family, and it was kind of nice. I told Brother Tony, I said, "I wish you were with us, brother." I said, I actually thought about that a couple of times. Wish he was with me, because we didn't have to work or anything, really. You know, usually in the early morning, we're getting the house ready, getting ready for fellowship, and you come here, and you got duties here at the church, and there, we got to just pretty well just get fed. It was kind of nice. But just had a really good time. We listened to the service on the way home from that and enjoyed the service. So just want to say God bless you. We wanted to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I love the Word of God. And she'll have these on the multimedia for us as well. This is kind of be part of a part two of Are You in the Faith? And this is going to be governed by the Spirit. So let's go to the Scriptures. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, Lord, for coming and being with us, Lord. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst, Lord. Lord, I believe each person under the sound of my voice, they have you with them, Lord. They've been walking with you. And Lord, we know that our efforts that we put together, though they were sincere and everything, Lord, put our hearts into it, still it takes you, Lord, to come and give life. And we ask you to come, bring bread with us tonight, Lord. May you give us exactly the portion that you want us to have And Lord, may each hearer of the word have an ear to hear what it is you want to say to them individually. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We are fighting a flesh and a flesh, and we are not fighting a flesh and blood battle. This is a walk of faith. And to walk by faith, you know, sometimes it's, that means you don't feel anything. Sometimes it's a, but it's not just that kind of a walk by faith where you're walking, where you don't see anything, you're just believing something there, but it's actually a revelation from the Word. And that's what it is that caused us to, that's what Paul said. He said, I live the faith, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It was actually the faith of Jesus Christ in his heart. That's what caused him to live the life that he was. And what called us to live the life of a Christian, and that's what it was a revelation. It was a faith. And because of that faith, that's what causes you to live your life. So it's a walk of faith. And I just want to read a couple of quotes here. And we'll just kind of settle in and just ask the Lord to just come and just visit with us tonight. Speak to us what he wants us to hear. Brother Brent says, he says, man usually when he's born in the kingdom of God, his face set right straight towards Calvary. Now, if he's just a little bit emotional, he will go off on a fanaticism. If he's just a little bit his shrewd education, he'll get so starchy that he sets over on this side. That's right. But the true church of the living God goes right down through the center of the highway, preaching a sane, solid gospel, calling from both sides. Amen. That's what we need today, a church that it wouldn't be a shame for anyone to come into. It's perfectly governed by the Holy Spirit. No fanaticism, no starchy, just a good, warm church filled with God's Spirit. Watch that. With a good, solid gospel teaching pastor, that's what we need. Amen. God help us to have it. God wants us to have it. And I believe that we have that. Can you say amen? Amen. I thank God for the ministry that God has given us here through Brother Tony. And he's a teacher, you know, and he has a way of breaking things down that a normal preacher can't do in a way. And it's needed. And that's what we desire. At least that's my desire, is I want a warm, filled church to where when someone comes off the street, they will feel welcome here. Mm-hmm. You know, in a service to where, not just in the service, but how many knows we are the church? Well, the word, this we are the sermons that's preached from this church, if it's done correctly. Mm-hmm. So I'll pray, my sincere prayer is that we would translate the word that we hear here, that we will take it wherever we go, and people will feel that warm church feeling that we just read about. That they will see something inside that and say that I need that, I want that, because that would be a correct translation of the word. Mm-hmm. Because the word will speak to every person on every level. Amen. Mm-hmm. Another quote, Brother Grimm says, and no matter how much that Samuel tried to persuade the people, continually they went after him day and night. We want a king. We want a man. We want a man that we can say, this is our God. And that has never been the will of God. It never was the will of God, or it never will be the will of God, for men to rule over one another. God rules over man. God is our ruler, our king. And it's very much of a parallel of today, because that man seems to have the same idea. They don't seem to be able to grasp that God still rules man instead of man ruling man. So they chose themselves a man named Saul, which was the son of Kish. And he was a reputable man, an honorable man. But he suited the people just right because he was a great, tall, noble stature of a man. The scriptures said he was head and shoulders above any man in Israel. He was kingly looking. And he was handsome in the face. He was a brilliant and extraordinary man. That's the kind of man that people like to choose today. The people does not seem to be satisfied with the way that God placed his church to be governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. They want somebody, some man, some denomination, some certain people to govern the church, and they're not able to throw themselves completely into God's hand to be spiritual, to be led by the Holy Spirit. They want somebody to do their religion for them. Somebody that will tell them just how to do it and all about it. So this man seemed to suit the place exactly because he was a very intellectual man. And it's a whole lot like today. We like to choose such people to control our churches, to control the church of God. Nothing that I have to say against it, but just merely to make a point that it is not. It was not and it will never be the will of God for such to be. God is to rule his people, to govern each individual. God wants to govern his people. And kind of going back to the sermon that we preached here recently about how the children of Israel wanted a king. And the reason they wanted a king is because the king to fight their battles. And remember, Samuel told them, if you do this, you're going to have to pay taxes towards this king. Your children are going to have to do these things if you have this king. And Samuel said, God's got a provided way. God speaks to you. He says, has the Lord ever failed you? But they said, nevertheless, we want a king. We want to be like the Philistines. We want to be like the others. Give us a king. Because when we have this king, all we got to do is fit under the allotment, do our dues, so to speak. And as long as we do that, we're in the church. We're part of the church because we're doing what we have to do. And a lot of times when we look at this for myself, when I read these quotes, read the scriptures, I would always just look at that as a denominational church. I would just look at that as saying, you know what, that's a type of the denomination church, how that they have done that while God has given a prophet in this hour, a message of the hour today, yet people would want the denomination rather than just hearing the prophet's message. And here lately, the Lord has really brought it to light to me how that it's not just the denomination church out there while we have a prophet's message, but it's really a church itself if we're not careful. And I'll say, I want to be clear in what I say. Same as I said the other day, I believe in a fivefold ministry, okay? I am not talking about doing away with the fivefold ministry. But what I'm talking about, as a parallel, if we are not careful, brother and sister, we will use our church as that king, and we will fit our dues, we'll do what we got to do, we'll go to church. Now I'm identified with the church. I have signed my name on the book. That has never been God's perfect will. That has never been his will. It never will be his will. Now, God has a fivefold ministry. We'll have a pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists. They will give you the word. They'll break bread for you. And it will be what you have need of to overcome your battles. And you will overcome your battles by what? By faith. And how does faith come? By preaching and hearing the word of God. So God will anoint a ministry to preach a word, and you'll hear that word, and it gives you faith if you receive it the right way. You have to receive it with meekness, the word of God given to you, and you can overcome your battles by faith. But what happens is the devil wants to try so hard. We just go to church. We just have our king, so to speak, our church, so to speak. We don't want to do that. We must be governed by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? The Holy Spirit must lead us. He must guide us. It's an individual walk where God wants to talk to you on a daily basis, individually, where we are walking with the Spirit. Brother Branham talked about how that there would be a tutor that would be given to the church. Brother Branham talked about, and I'm going to give you just a little background before we get to the message. Brother Branham talked about how that there was a tutor that would be given to you and on the boxcar. If you don't read about this, Brother Branham talks about it in What is the Holy Ghost? What's the Holy Ghost for? He talks about the boxcar, how he'd have a tutor, and there would be loose things inside the car, and that tutor would help you get rid of your temper, get rid of these things. There's all these things are important. But brother, sister, that tutor walks with you the whole way. But if we're not careful, we'll just settle for, I'm just going to do what the preacher says, and that's it. But there should be a daily basis of being led by God's Spirit. Right. There should be a daily basis where we are eating the Word, where we are becoming this Word, and we see ourselves inside this Word. Amen. Amen. We went to, as we mentioned a little ago earlier, we went to Louisiana. And we saw the craftsmanship of the building. And we saw all the detail work. And I'm a people watcher. I watch people. And we got there early because we're not used to having that much free time. It was kind of nice. We got there early. We parked at the end of the parking lot. And nobody was there yet. But Brother Tim Pruitt pulled up. And I didn't recognize him. He got right up on it. He pulled right beside us and got out of his vehicle and gave us a warm handshake, a good welcome, warm welcome. And the Greek said, please feel welcome, and greet everybody. Well, after he said, well, you guys feel welcome. He went unparked, and we sat there just for a few minutes, and I just watched people. And I saw people get out of their vehicles, And they would grab hands one another, and they were walking with speed and with haste to get to the building because they were ready to get to service. You know, there was just such a happiness of getting to church, of getting to service. And we have a happiness here, but we have just a few numbers. And whenever I was able to go and be with more believers, more, it brought a fire inside me. And then, but you know what? What spoke to my heart, I have a point in what I'm saying. I've let it on my heart, and if what I've been studying, what I've been praying about, and what this church preaches. And Brother Tim Pruitt, a wonderful brother, preached an absolute awesome message. If you go back and listen to the message of what he preached, it's the same thing that's preached here. Amen. The scriptures that he brought up was literally before service, the scriptures I was studying. If I was to speak, my brother spoke right down the same thing. Amen. To the point where I don't even know why it amazes me anymore, but yet it still amazes me. Well, Brother Tony will open the scriptures and he'll start to preach what's on his heart, and it'll be right down the line of what I've been studying on. Right down the line of what I've been going through. It amazes me still. Brother Brenham, our brother Ed Biscoe talked about how that whenever him and Brother Brenham are going down the road, and all of a sudden the hair rose up on his neck, and the angel of the Lord come down into the room, and he said, Brother Eddie, it's always that way. Yeah. And I can tell you, brother, sister, it is that way. Whenever I will be laying in my bed, or what I'm doing in the Spirit of the Lord will come down so strong and so sweet. But it's real easy for us to, if we're not careful, you can get discouraged by the numbers. You say, is what I'm doing even making a difference? Yeah. It is. Yeah. And the same Lord, the same Holy Spirit that's with this little bitty flock. And I don't mean that disrespectful when I say that. This little flock, that same Holy Spirit that's with us, it's the same Spirit that's with them. And the same Spirit that's with them is the same one that's with us.
Amen.
And what we do individually matters.
Amen.
And you know what? Those saints of that big church, I watched them. If any of them listen to service, I don't think they'd get offended by it. I think they believe it's right. But I saw this one couple of individually. It was a black couple. And I just thought, I just loved watching. It's an older couple. They pulled up in a blue 3500, Ram 3500. And Malachi brought it up because they saw this guy come down. He had just some broad shoulders. And we said, that was a tough fellow. But he's still tough. But Malachi said, he was really tough at one time. You can just tell. But I saw him pull up, and he waited for his wife to get out. They're probably in their late 50s, maybe 60. They get out of the vehicle, and he waits gently for her to get out, grabs her hand, and starts walking really quickly, smiling ear to ear, walking to service because they're getting to go to church. I mean, what I'm talking about. They're smiling. They remember. Their ambitions, their focus was on the right thing. I get to go to church. I get to be here, and I want to get up here right into the front to find a seat. And it wasn't a special service. It was just a service.
Right.
Now, as I told Brother Tony, he said, our service, you wouldn't have very far to walk as far as the parking lot to hold hands. You'd probably be there to the front before the walk got out of the beach. Just for our building. I don't mean this in any way. I think you know me well enough to know that I'm talking about it makes a difference.
Right.
Because each person that would grab that's a more of a fire, more of a fire, more of a fire of a positive attitude, positive energy, positive mindset. We get to go to church. We get to be in service. We get to worship God. And when you do that, brother, it just makes that more of a moving of the Spirit. Is that true?
Amen.
You think, as I said earlier, Brother Tony and Sister Hannah, I point them out because they're mainly our musicians. And Sister Brittany, when they come, whenever they're able to. And we understand they have a long distance to drive. I understand that. I'm not talking about anyone. But there's a sacrifice that you got to have, and sometimes you don't feel inspired. Sometimes you just got to really push, and you got to really plow. And the devil will work your mind and say, are you even making a difference? Does it matter what you do? It does make a difference.
Amen.
That's kind of what the service is, where I feel the Lord being, is just try to be an encouragement that we continue to be governed by the Spirit. That even though it may feel discouraging sometimes it may feel like I'm so tired, I'm just
Let me encourage you tonight to seek to be governed by that Spirit, that you be just as diligent as if you had 1,500 people coming. You be just as diligent when you're playing that piano, and I believe she did,
amen,
and singing that song as if you had 500 people in here. You worship the Lord.
Amen.
When Brother Tony, and he's critical of himself on his guitar, I love to hear him play his guitar.
How many
loves to hear Brother Tony sing and play his guitar? I do. I genuinely do. My favorite song he sings is I Surrender All.
Amen.
It's my favorite song. I remember I was going through a hard time with my brother. He's got into a lot of trouble years ago. And he got up there and sung that song. And he just broke the chains off me. And just from that day on, it's just meant a lot to me.
Amen.
But it's sometimes it gets discouraging. So as I want to go through some of this, just take that in that mindset, okay? In St. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. There's two scriptures. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And there is a power in believing the word. It's a power to become the sons of God. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Brother Brennan says, now, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Then God has set in the church different things. Now, man can testify of anything, but until God confirms that and says it's so, it isn't so. You've got a right to disbelieve it until God vindicates it that it's the truth. And then you have no more right to disbelieve God. Ain't that profound? Because when God proves to you that his word is true, we have no right to disbelieve the word anymore.
Amen.
Amen. The tutor of the Holy Spirit, the tutor of the Holy Spirit has to come and confirm the reception of the word into the believer's heart. Now the word says, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive of the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the major thing a lot of people forget is that first part, repent. You must thoroughly repent, have truly said, Lord, forgive me. I truly, from your heart, be sorry and be baptized. And it's a promise from the word. He will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's a gift. It's a divine gift that God, it's a promise that God's given us. People are in too much of a hurry when it comes time of dealing with the Holy Ghost because there's a very important factor is you must tarry for the Holy Ghost. You must, whenever you're in prayer, sometimes we get in such a hurry that we don't wait and I'll wait for that Spirit to come down and speak to our heart. Let that Spirit come down and do the ministry. You know, Brother Brown, if you listen to his services, sometimes, Lord forgive me, but it would drive me crazy because I would listen to a service on the way to work, and I used to drive 45 minutes to work, and he would just now start reading doing the text by the time I pulled into my work. Because he would be talking that whole time. How many knows what I'm talking about? But what was he doing? He was waiting on the Lord to come down. He was waiting on the Spirit to come down. And then when that angel come forth, he could rest at that point. It was the Holy Spirit moving. It reminds me of a time I was in Honduras. And one of the first trips I ever went there, we were in the mountains. The wind was blowing so hard, we just had a tent. And the wind was blowing. It was just plumb packed with people. And I was so nervous. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm nervous. And Brother James Miller was going to interpret for me at that time. And Brother Miller knew I was nervous. And I'll never forget the words he said. And I've thought about these. I've held these words in my heart over all these years. He said, Brother Daniel, you can rest. He said, because whenever he comes, that's what's going to make the difference. And if he don't come, it ain't going to make a difference anyway. You're exactly right, brother. And I remember whenever I got up to it, the wind was blowing like crazy. And when I walked up to the pulpit, the wind just stopped. We had just an amazing service.
Amen.
But what the point of what I'm trying to say is you have to wait on the Lord. You have to, whenever you go to prayer, especially when you need an answer, you need God to give me a direction on something in my life. I'm talking about being governed by the Spirit.
Whenever you're going to pray, God, what do I do about this situation? Tarry. Wait on him. Give him an opportunity to talk back to you.
Right.
Because a lot of times, if you're not careful, you do all the talking. So as fellowship with Brother Tony throughout our years of being friends, we talked about sometimes people will go to person to person to person asking for advice, but it's really not because they want the right answer. They're looking for somebody to agree with them in what they're doing. And that's, if we're not careful in our prayer, that's what we'll do. Well, I prayed about it, but did you really pray about it? Because a lot of times you're just saying, Lord, this is what I feel I need to do. You're telling him what you feel led to do. He's the one that does the leading, right? So if it's not him doing the leading, who's the one leading you? You know, so a lot of times when a person goes to their parents, I want advice. Hey, what should I do about this? But when they try to tell you the advice and they start arguing with you, that's not asking for advice. That's looking for confirmation. That's right. And somebody from the church, you know, we say, I've got a problem. What do I do? They go to the ministry. But when the ministry doesn't give the answer they want, are you really looking for leadership? And we are sheep. We need to be led. And for us to be successfully led, that means we have to lay our thoughts down. We have to lay our rights down. I have a right to go out and drink alcohol. I have a right to go out and smoke cigarettes. I have a right to do these. But as a sheep, I lay those things down. I surrender those things down. I say, Lord, I don't want those things anymore. And God takes the want to out of you. You know, Brother Brown said, if you have a question in your mind of whether it's right or wrong, he said, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Amen. But we are to be led by the Spirit. We need to be led. Men and women have continued walking with the same devils on them that they had before they were ever baptized. They will carry stuff with them. And if we're not careful, the ministry of today will give you books and sermons of how to cope with the devil that you're living with. This is how you can deal with it. No, you don't live with that devil. You cast that devil out. The gospel has been sent to set you free. Well, you don't have to hold on to those things. But, you know, there was the man that was going to crush every bone in Brother Brenham's body. And Brother Brenham, the cops were going to stop him. And Brother Brenham said, stay back. And the Lord caused that man, because he defied the servant of the Lord. He fell over Brother Brenham's feet. How many remembers the story? And Brother Brenham said that spirit will come back to that man because he worships that spirit. That man welcomes that thing. So, you know, during the preaching of the word, spirits are cast out. Because during the preaching of the word, faith comes in your heart. How do you overcome? By faith.
Right.
So the word is preached. Those things will leave you. But as we read last time we preached in the book of James, don't be a forgetful hearer. Because whenever you leave those doors and you forget about everything you heard preached, those spirits that left you will come right back.
That's right.
And people do that. They'll go year after year after year after year fighting and holding and housing that same devil. And they'll then go to service and that spirit will leave. They'll go right back out those doors and welcome that spirit right back into their life.
Right.
Now we're talking about being governed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to that. That's what goes back to, we need Holy Spirit leadership, where we are sensitive to that Spirit, because it's going to come to a day where people don't even recognize this is the Holy Spirit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see today.
That's right.
We have been given the power to become the sons of God. And we can break the cycle that's in our families. Families of drinking. Years. I come from an alcoholic family of alcohol. Of marriage and divorce. I don't think there's probably hardly any like our family that's not been divorced. That doesn't mean I have to go down that road. God can break that cycle. And you know, we can get cycles in our life when we do that same circle where I was talking about having a devil. You can pick whatever devil it is that you can find yourself fighting. You can find yourself going 40 years walking around with that devil, and every time the Spirit will cast that devil at you, welcome him back. At some point, you got to stop welcoming.
Right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes backwards. It just got to die. You say, Lord, let this thing die. I don't want to go back to these things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he will.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to want it. Brother Tim Lane sings a song, "Do You Really Want to Be Well? Do You Really Want to Be Free?" Amen. God did not choose you because you were perfect. God chose you to make you perfect. God didn't choose you because you didn't have any mistakes. He chose you to make it where you'll be absolutely blameless. Amen. Let's go to James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man's deed shall be blessed." This man shall be blessed in his deed. God has a perfect image in his mind of you. He sees you at your best. And whenever the ministry to the best of our ability, that's what the Lord tries to show you, is look at yourself. You are perfect. This is what we're trying to get you to. But if we look at that and we see the mistakes in our life that the Word is trying to address, but we don't do anything with that, we're wasting our time.
Yeah.
That's right. But the point I want to show you is God sees you as perfection. God has a perfect image in our mind. I'm not telling you nothing you don't know. I'm just, as I say, this is kind of an encouragement, okay? God sees us at our best, and I'm so thankful that He sees me at my best, because I see a lot of times I don't see my best.
Yeah.
I see my faults, I see my failures, I see my weaknesses, I see how I feel. Am I the only one with that? We need something. God sees you at His best. And so remember that your husband and your wife in a marriage. I've got a snapshot picture of my wife. Of I saw her. I still see her at times whenever she was that 18-year-old, 98 pound. She's 99 pounds now. 98 pound. I see her when I see her. You know what that is? That's my snapshot of seeing her from when I see her. When I see her eyes, I still see her exactly. And there's still, to this day, it'll just literally make my heart leap because I see her. I don't look at her imperfections. I don't look at this stuff. I don't look at that stuff. I see her because it is a love. And brother, sister, I believe with all my heart that's how God looks at us. God sees the snapshot of us before the foundation of the world. God sees. He knows who we are.
Right.
And I want to be better than what I've been. Amen. Amen. God has got a snapshot. God's got a mirror. And through the services that we have, that's what God is doing, is He is showing you through the photo album of this word, of showing you who you are in this word. Mm-hmm. Amen. Brother Graham says this. And I want to say it. That snapshot has no wrinkles. No blemishes. It's perfect. Because whenever he sees us through the blood. And I'm so thankful for that. So should we continue in sin? God forbid. And whenever you have that desire, if you had a desire to continue in sin, then you obviously there's something wrong here. But from your heart. I remember, I wish I got the quote. A sister asked Brother Brown, "Brother Brown, I just want to know I got the Holy Ghost. I really just want to know I really got it." She said, he said, "Sister, from your heart of hearts," he said, "what is your desire for the word?" She says, "Oh, brother, I want to live this word. I love this word. I just want to serve God so much better." He said, "Sister, that's it." And it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. But when you have that revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally, you will want to live this word.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. From your heart of your heart, sometimes when you feel discouraged, sometimes you feel tired, let me ask you, well, from the heart of your heart, from the inside of you, what is your desire? I'm not talking about when you made the mistake. I'm talking about, because anytime you make a mistake, whenever you've got that Holy Ghost inside you, just remember that crow don't, or that dove don't have that gall on the inside of him like that crow. That crow can go out and eat the things of the world and be just as content and praise God and have no problem with it. But a dove can make a mistake and he'll be sick until he makes it right. What is it that makes you do that? It's because you were his.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, if you ever fall down in your faith, you do that thing, you repent, you dust yourself off and say, "God, forgive me," and you get right back in line.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brim says this. He said, now see, it's not a shallow affair. It's something deep. We're not babies anymore. We're men and women. The church should be in that condition tonight. Not shallow, but deep in God. Now, healing is not something that you just say, well, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. No, that's all right if that's the best you can do. But mentally, or just say, well, yes, I see it. I believe that. I accept it. Then you accept it on those bases. Keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it until actually you believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Now listen to what he says here. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time you confess, well, I still feel bad today. You go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. There's what a man or woman in here that's baptized with the Holy Spirit, but what would start your confession? I believe I lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone for me. I believe you go right down. You'll never. Listen close. You'll never live above your confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Now, Hebrews 3:1. Now, any scholar knows that same word profession is confession too. Same translation. Now, sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession upon what? Our confession. He can't do nothing for you until you first confess he's done it. See? When you accept it. Now, I wasn't saved. I'm not saved tonight because I get happy and shout. That isn't it. I'm not saved because the gift of God works through me. I'm saved because I have met the conditions that Jesus Christ required for me. I'm saved according to the Bible. See, is that right? See, not because I feel like I'm saved. Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings, but he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. See, he can't go. He can't wade across that. That'll defeat him. Now, when you believe you are saved, sitting in your seat out in the wherever you was, you accepted it and began to confess and tell people you were saved. Well, you kept on saying, I'm saved. The people said, there ain't no difference in you. But you believed there was. Is that right? And you kept your confession. And after a while, it worked righteousness. All your neighbors and everybody knows you're saved now because you believed it. You've confessed it. Why? What happened? What changed you? He's the high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making good what you're confessing. You say, amen. Amen. Confessing, I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got joy. I've got, my children are saved. Amen. My finances are met. It may look, according to the checkbook or the balance sheet, it may look like I'm in trouble, but by faith, my needs are met. You confess that and God will move upon your confession. Right. Amen. Right. No matter how you feel, confess what the Word says. And our life is our greatest confession. And just a couple of scriptures and we'll be done, okay? Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Do you hear what I said? And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. The enemy will come against you whenever you take a stand for the word. He will, absolutely will. But it's during those times we must have faith that God is in control of my life, God is in control of my finances, God is in control of my marriage, God is in control of my church, God is in control of my health, God is in control. The more we can truly believe that, the more peaceful that will be. Amen. We must keep a positive confession. Let's go to Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 15. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Let's go to Psalms 37, verses 14 through 19. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man had is better than the riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Say amen. During all the corrupt, whatever, all the pressure of the world, we can still be satisfied.
Amen.
In the midst of that. And I have been. You say amen for yourself.
Amen.
The Lord's been good to us.
Amen.
Through COVID, through every bit of that, we've been satisfied. God has given us a steadfast meal throughout every bit of it. He's kept us all alive. That old devil will try to make us sick for a little bit, but that's to his loss, because what we do while we're laying down, we listen to sermons. Right? We study our Bible. But it's just, I mean, he can try all he wants to. Here, go ahead, they'll give another one. You know, but no matter what he does to us, we are an invincible army.
Amen.
Because we always go back to the Word, no matter what.
Amen.
Psalms 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. We just stay planted by that water.
Amen.
You know, it may be just one or two trees, but they're still planted by the water.
Right.
And they'll be just as steadfast as if they were 100 trees.
Amen.
And just keep that in mind. And I always tell myself this too. Whenever the wise men went to go worship Jesus, they were in a big congregation, but they weren't looking at who all was around them. They were beholding the King.
Amen.
Right? And that's the way we got to be. Is, I mean, you got to have that mindset, that focus, that I'm here to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Whether it be just me standing alone or having 500, Amen. I'm here to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead and let Brother Tony come forth. And I just want to give a little story here, if that'd be okay. I got a friend from work. His dad is a pastor. And a grandpa, rather. And we're talking an old, he's probably in his 80s, maybe 90. But this was a man that was known to be close to God. This was a man that walked with the Lord. Just a godly man. Had a good testimony among the people. Thanksgiving evening, they had supper at the house. And most of the family finally left. And he was going to go in there and eat him one of them turkey sandwiches. Well, he went in there and got him some turkey, and he get it all ready, put on the plate, and he heard a knock at the door. He said, well, I guess I'll put my turkey sandwich down, and he bypassed the cake and all the desserts that were sitting there and went to answer the door, and it was Brother So-and-so. Brother So-and-so was one of those people that usually late for church and leaves early. Not to be mean, not to be critical, but every church has it. Well, this Brother So-and-so said, Brother Weaver, he said, I know you are close to God, and I know you're close to Him. You've got that prayer life, and brother, I've got a need, and I need you to get a hold of God. He said, okay, brother, let's go. Being the godly man that he was, they went to the prayer room, they got on their knees and began to pray. Brother Weaver really reaching out to the Lord and said, oh God, please help my brother, help him with this need, this dire need. He needed a touch from you, Lord. He needs you to come on the scene. He was really just seeking God for this brother all he could. And this guy, the testimony is, the man reached over and he said, hey, Brother Weave, you go ahead and keep praying and get close to God. I'm going to go get some of that cake. And the man did. The cake and left Brother Weave doing the praying. Brother Weave doing the sacrificing. Brother Weave doing it. If we're not careful, brother and sister, we'll find ourselves with that same mentality. Preacher, I want you to go. You go to prayer for this. You go to sacrificing for this. You go doing this. While you're doing that, I'm going to eat cake. You think Brother Weave don't want some cake? I won't say Brother Tony. You think Brother Tony don't want some cake? Yes, I will. He does want some cake. You think Brother Daniel don't want some cake every now and again? Brother Daniel wants some cake every now and again. But if we're not careful, he's like, you do the sacrifice, you keep praying, you keep seeking to God, while you're doing that, I'm going to go eat some cake. Now, I don't know for sure, but I highly have my expectations that his need wasn't quite met the way he expected it to be. But that man had the opportunity. Because that man was willing to lay it down. He was willing to do the sacrifice. And he was willing to get on his knees. He was willing to do the praying. He was willing to do what he had to do to get this need met. And I say this humbly, brothers and sisters, speaking of Brother Daniel too, every one of us, let's all get in this burden together. Amen. Because I want us all to be healthy. Amen. I want us all to be prosperous. And I want to make my pastor's ministry easy. As he possibly can. Amen. And I want to pray for him that God, may he hear from you what we have need of. Amen. And may he be able to speak it in a way that we can receive it and understand what he's saying. Amen. Lord, may you anoint God our ministry. But at the same time, Lord, help me do what I'm supposed to do also. Amen. Help me to be that puller. Well, I'll pull on that word. I'll pull on the service. When I'm in the service, when I'm worse, may I be the one that's pulling that spirit down.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And he didn't pay me nothing to say that. I think y'all know me well enough to know that. But from our hearts, brothers and sisters, let's, as I said in the service before too, the last thing I want to say, if we're not careful, the people we'll take advantage of more than anybody, it's our family and our friends. Let us reverence and hold valuable our relationships that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you very much, Lord. And I love these people. I love our pastor, Lord. I love his family, Lord. And I love this church. Lord, I love the believers that you allow me to be with, Lord. Lord, and I want them to be healthy, Lord. I want to see them prosper, Lord. I want to see growth, Lord, in each one of their lives, Lord. I want to see it in my own life, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just come and administer to each heart, Lord. And Lord, may they be able to receive the word that was given with meekness, Lord, and maybe the days to come or the hours to come, to think back and say, was it right? If it's ever hear something that maybe you don't quite, maybe it just feels like it's a little tough, think about it later on and say, was it right? Is it true? Because Lord, we want to be lined up. We want to be healthy. We want to be prosperous. I commit everything to you in Jesus' name.
What you heard.
Amen.
So many good things there. You know, you could have a teacher in school, and that teacher may know the material that they teach. They know it left and right, front, backwards, whatever, and very well be able to teach it. But it doesn't do any good if the students don't take that and go with it and learn it. And so, you know, what Brother Daniel's talking about, you know, you can be like the children of Israel did with Saul. You can come to church. You can serve God by legalism, just by hey, I know the right thing to say. I know the right thing to do. I know the scriptures. I know the quotes. And you can actually live that way without a new birth.
That's right.
And he said something last week, and I had never really thought about it, but I can say the same thing, not just to say me too. Brother Daniel said, nobody had to beg me to go to church. My wife will vouch for you. When I give my heart to the Lord, nobody has had to get me to go to church every time the doors is open, because there's just something inside me. And so, you know, God's not looking for people to stay babies their whole Christian life. They're to grow up. And so, you know, it's important that each one of you get that personal relationship. And so that, you know, whether you're in church or not in church, you have fellowship with the Lord, and he comes down and he speaks to you, because there's so much more that he can do in your life that way when you have that experience. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you have that, because, see, on rapture morning, I'm not going to be coming to your door, knocking on the door and say, hey, brother or sister, it's time to go.
Right.
Brother Daniel's not either. But the Holy Spirit will.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why it's important that every person, and God don't want it any other way. He deserves first place in every one of our lives. He deserves that nothing else is between you and him, just you and him alone, in that secret room. Nobody else there. He deserves that. And so, you know, we need to remember those things. And remember, we're to be salty. We are to be salty. I think my wife has said this phrase many times, something along the lines of, you can draw more flies with honey than you can vinegar, or something like that, or whatever. You know, do people want what we display? And we need to remember that we do. We should be the happiest people on the earth, and we are happy inside, but we need to make sure that we don't let the trials of life get us down to such a place that nobody sees that, right? We've got to fight our battles and be like he was saying, the people rejoicing, coming to church, happy to come. And so, you know, we have a small church here, and that has its benefits, and there's other things, some negatives about that. But, you know, it's not just us here. We live in an age now where it's a global thing or whatever. So there are people that listen to our sermons through Facebook or internet or whatever. It's not just us here. That's just the way it is. I think people should have their home church and so forth. But, you know, just remember, everything you do, every song you sing, every amen, every time you come in the door, your attitude that you come in, every bit of that affects this entire assembly, and it also goes out to those out there that are listening and coming in. And so, you know, it's hard for God. He can do whatever he wants except fail, but it's hard for God to speak to a busy mind. Brother Daniel was talking about, you know, we do all the talking and then we get up and we go, but we need to tarry before the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, talk to him and don't do like, you know, like he was saying, don't you know, you're just talking to him because you're presenting your idea and not listening and waiting to see what the Lord has in mind.
Yeah.
As Brother Ram said, let me change. Don't me try to change his mind, but let him change mine.
Okay.
And so that's what you want to do. I'm just making some comments about notes I wrote while he was preaching there. So, which is truth, what I'm about to say? Which is truth of those two statements? By his stripes, we are healed. Or, I'm still having pain, so I'm still sick. Which one is truth? Think about it. We'd say, oh, but I'm lying if I... Brother Bam said when he was had that sickness and thrown up and had to cover his mouth, you know, to keep from... And still saying, I'm healed.
Yes.
Right?
Which is more true?
Yes.
Right. By his stripes, we are healed, present tense healed.
Amen.
Or, well, I've still got symptoms. And we need to think about that.
Yes.
Because there's only one of those things that is truth. And that's what we should speak and what we should say. And so, and the last thing I want to comment, you know, is he's talking about our nature and soul thing and what you return to or whatever. And home is where you always go back. Mm-hmm. Right? I might go to work, I might come to church, but we always go home. Mm-hmm. And home is where you rest. Home is where you are. It's who you are. And as Christians, we always come back to the Word. And that's where we find our rest.
Amen.
That's our home. That's where we live. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. We might have to go out and fight battles out here in the world, and we do all the time. But we always return back to the Word. And when we make a mistake, we come back to the Word. And when we go to help somebody, whatever it is, because that's our abode. We live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in this Word. That's the life of a Christian, and that's where we find rest. Amen.
Amen.
And so I really appreciate the things Brother Daniel has shared with us. Let's go to Psalm 479. Maybe we'll sing this song. I really enjoyed what we heard tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus.